We continue my learning of the Nishmas David, Ben Achim, Shem Chaim Yaakov, Ben Pidachim, Shalio. We're in Kalim Perek, Tes Zayin, Mishnah Beis. We continue our discussion of the point in which a kli becomes susceptible to tumah. What point does it have the status of a kli? Hasalim shel eitz. Here we're speaking about wooden baskets. They're wicker baskets. You have twigs that you lace together. So mishayachsom v'kanev. You wonder one day is susceptible to tumah when they have the status of a kli. When the person who's making them, the craftsman, finishes the rim and v'kanev and trims the end of the twigs. The twigs are going to stick inside the basket and also outside the basket. So once he trims the inside and the outside, after he finishes the rim, the top, so then it's mekabel tumah. Vishel tamara, this is a basket made not of the twigs, not of wood, but made of it's also wood, but these are palm leaves, shel tamara, from tamar, from using the palm leaves, and these are softer leaves. They're not as hard as the previous wicker basket. This is like, if you look at, think about the holder of the lulav. So at what point will that, well, that obviously doesn't have a base kibble, but assuming it has something had a base kibble, you have a wicker basket made from palm leaves, afal pisha lo kinev bimifnim, tameh. So, of course, you have to get to the point where you finished the rim. That's what called misha yachsom. But instead of vikanev, instead of where we said in the previous case where the salam of made out of eights, regular stiff twigs, where we say we have to trim off the extra pieces that are sticking in and sticking out, and when it comes to using these wicker baskets made of the palm leaves, it's tamei, even though you do have to cut off the pieces of the palm leaves that are sticking out. That already is going to make it difficult to carry it around to use it. But the ones that are sticking inside, where you're going to place things inside, they're not going to ruin anything you want to store in there because they're softer. So people will use them without cutting off the extra, trimming off the extra pieces that are sticking out on the inside. It's already mekabel tumah at that point, shekein mekaimin, because people usually leave it that way without trimming the pieces that are sticking out on the inside. Kalkala, what about a reed basket? I mean, there you need to do three things. It's mekabel tumah when, mishayachsom v'kanev. So far we've had those two already. That's where the craftsman finishes the rim. Kanev v'kanev means he trims off the pieces that are sticking inside and outside of the kli. And v'yigmor es ha'tloya. We had the tloya before. This is the hanging loop. This is that which is used to hang it from the wall. This is considered also this is part of the preparation of the kli. And therefore, it's not considered a gemar malacha, and it's not susceptible to tumah till you put on the tloya, till you put on the loop as well. Then the Mishnah says, "Beis haleginim ubeis hakosos." We move back to using palm leaves, but these are baskets, storage cases for leginim, which are flasks for wine, to hold wine, let's say, or beis hakosos. It's a storage case made out of palm leaves used for holding glass cups. Here we say, "Af al pi shelo kinev." This sounds similar to the case of palm leaves before. Even though you didn't trim mi bifnim, the palm the pieces that are sticking inside after you finish lacing them together, tameh, it is mekabel tumah nonetheless. Shekin mekaimin, because this is the way they keep them. This is the way they use them, as we said earlier. So some of the farshim want to know why you have to tell me this again. You told me that was true when it came to the tamara, to the wicker baskets above with palm leaves. Now you're telling me I'm using these wicker baskets, larger ones, to hold flasks of wine and cups of wine. So what's the chiddush here that it's the same thing? That once you make the rim, and of course you trim off the pieces sticking on the outside, but you don't need to trim off the pieces sticking on the inside because people use them in such a way. So the novelty here is that one would have thought that since you're using this to store these flasks and beis hakosos, these cups, so then maybe they're expensive and maybe they would get ruined or scratched by having some of these palm leaves that are sticking on the inside, the place where you're storing these flasks and these cups. So the chiddush is that even in such a case, where you use them to store flasks and cups, even if you don't trim off the pieces on the inside of the palm branches, they're soft enough, then that people will use the inside, even the clay kibble section of this basket, even though There are pieces of palm branch that are sticking inside. A shekein mekaimin, that's the chiddush here. Perek tezayin mishnah gimel hakinonim haktanim. Kanon you have in several places is a flask here which we're using, but here we're using it to sift. So hakinonim haktanim. Here are small the small funnels that are used to sift, but they're also woven out of palm leaves that we spoke about early in the previous Mishnah. In this case, they used to sift beans. Now, they're very small. Vahakilasos, which are also small baskets. These are woven out of straw or reeds. These hold small things. Misha, at what point are these susceptible to tuma? Misha yachsom vikanev, as we had before. These are when you make the rim, you finish the rim, and you cut off the ends. And in these cases, we assume that cutting off the ends, the trimming off the ends, is both the pieces that are sticking on the outside and the ones that are sticking on the inside. Hakinonim hagadolim, hasugim hagadolim. These are large bins, which are used to store grain. So these kalim are fashioned a little bit differently. We're not speaking about a wicker basket anymore. We lace the pieces together, but rather they're coiled together. Certain baskets, you may notice, it's like on a snake that it coils itself around. So there's a bottom made of reeds that are coiled, that you wind as a long cord together. That serves as the base. And then you can continue winding on the outside and building it up. Very much like a snake that's coiled around, and eventually you get to the top of the basket, and the rope is coiled around, and that's how you have your basket. So these kanonim gedolim, the large funnels or things that sift, to sugin gedolim, they're large bins. Mishe yaseh shnei durim lo rochav shelohem. When are they susceptible to tumah? When after you, the base certainly is not the kli just yet, because you can't put anything in the base. But after you do the base, then you wind two coils around the perimeter. So at that point already, they are mekabel tumah. Why they're mekabel tumah at this point? So some of the farshim say because you could use these at this point, two coils around. It's a pretty shallow, but you could put a couple of things inside. And others claim, no, that's really clear. Not the way you're planning on using it. There's not much that's going to put in there. It's most of the things you put in there are going to fall out. But because it already has the form of a kli, or tsuras kli, even after two coils, it's very clear you're going to be building it up. So therefore, it's susceptible to tumah at that point. Yamnafa ukvar. We spoke about the yamnafa. That was the screen that was used as part of the sieve. We spoke about whether it's attached or people take it out and the kabel tumah on its own. But this yamnafa where we're speaking about that has a rim. Or kvara, it's another type of sieve, which as we mentioned also, but it's a little bit wider. That sifts the chaff out of the grain. Also has a rim. The kaf shel mosnayim, or let's say the mosnayim is a scale, and you have the kaf, that's the pan. That's where you place the item that you're going to weigh. At what point, and these obviously we're speaking about not when they're made out of metal, we're speaking about also where you coil them out of reeds. So at what point do we say that these are mekabel tumah? Dur echad l'rochav shalahem. They become subject to tumah once the craftsman winds one coil around the perimeter. You have the bottom, but then you have one coil around the perimeter to start making a little bit of a rim. So that's from whatever woven material you're using, it's already going to be susceptible to tumah. One coil. Then the Mishnah says, hakupa, which is a general word for a basket, but here we're specifically speaking about a basket also made of woven material, but we're not weaving it together like lacing together like the wicker basket. It's also not coiled around like the previous kalim we were speaking about. But this kupa, this basket, is where you have different rings that are attached to one another, and that's how you make the kli. So at what point is this susceptible to tumah? Mishayas shteitz firos larochav shalah. It becomes tumah when the craftsman, whoever making it, makes a wall by attaching two tsviros, two rings, to the base. Once it has a base, and then you attach two rings to that base, so at that point already, it has the status of a kli. So in this case, you're not coiling. When you have the rings, is you want to, you first have to make a base, and you do that by having a ring and then another ring that's a little bit wider circumference than one that's even wider, and that eventually makes the bottom. And then you make the, you want to make the wool, the rim, so then you place the rings one on top of the previous one, and you fasten them together. So that way, you make this type of kupa. So at what point in this kupa, that's what the mission means. The kupa is mishayaset shteit sfiros larochav. When you attach two rings around the circumference, just two of them, that is considered a kli already. The ha'arok, which is another type of basket, this is rectangular, it's long and it's narrow, and this is used, it's called an arok. Arok is an Aramaic word for shoes, because this was used, people who work with leather would use such a kli. So the Mishnah says, at what point is this mekabel tuma? Mishayase bo tzfira achas. Even one ring that's attached to it, that already makes it susceptible to tuma. Since this is different than the kupa was used, it had a larger area of a receptacle, or deeper, rather. The arak was used even with a very low rim. So therefore, having one sphira, one ring attached to it to go around, that already is sufficient, and it's mekabel tumah at that point.